I never thought my life would go this way. I was the definition of consumed, and my life as it was before was over. Obsessed with a being no one believes in, compelled by a cause no one remembers. Upon starting that first job as a custodian at Toontown, I would have never imagined I'd still be talking about it 20 years later. Time and time again, for whatever reason, the cartoon man has evaded authorities. Due to my various encounters with him, I've been trespassed from the park several times. I even ended up going as far as changing my identity in order to get back inside. I shaved my head, grew a beard, and essentially became a completely different person. I work out constantly, and have spent years becoming an expert in numerous forms of combat, including jiu-jitsu and Krav Maga. I needed to be totally prepared for the off chance that I did end up encountering him again. My fighting ability is not my secret weapon, though. I also spent years social engineering people at the FBI, working on the cartoon man's case. I have gotten access to case files, photos, and even samples of the secret weapon they developed to fight him, called I-151. I wish I could say that I didn't have to use violence to obtain this item, but in my opinion, the ends justify the means. The FBI continued to search for him as well, but due to bureaucracy, it seemed they had hit a standstill. I didn't mind though. I wanted to find him first, anyways. I'm pretty sure I saw him about a year back, when I witnessed a man swimming in the river beside Haunted Mansion. I found out later that man had killed his girlfriend. When I saw his face, though, it was weird. It was like he had had plastic surgery to fix himself and look more human. So after that, I didn't even know what he looked like. I did have his cursed Mickey hat from the early days of the park, though. I knew that if I was anywhere near him, he wouldn't be able to ignore me. He'd have to try to get it back, just like he did all those years ago on Splash Mountain. Anyways, as most of you know, Disney was closed for much of the 2020 pandemic, and I think that was a very good thing for the cartoon man. Finally, he was able to enjoy his world of fantasy, unrestricted, doing whatever disturbing things he liked throughout the parks. As long as he avoided cameras and cleaned up afterwards, he was pretty much in the clear. I got a hunch, though, that he was leaving the park to get victims, because people started going missing around Kissimmee 192 area, and their bodies would never be recovered. However, many of them were drifters, and not really noticed by anyone, even the children. I noticed, though, and I knew he was working on something. Something big. That was why I had to get into the park, and try to stop whatever he was doing to those people. So one afternoon I went over there and snuck over the back fence of Magic Kingdom, the way I had so many years before when I first discovered his shelter. I was armed with a mason jar of I-151 inside my fanny pack, as well as a 9mm pistol. I ventured back to where Cartoon Man's shelter had been all those years before, and saw that it had been mostly torn down, with all of his belongings missing. All except for an old file cabinet I found in some bushes. I opened it, and inside were a couple of items that appeared to have been stolen from an Imagineer's office. One was about building and designing animatronics, and the other was a behind-the-scenes look at how several rides in the park operated. Progressing further through the woods, I crossed a little river, finally making it to the back of Storybook Circus, which is where Toontown used to be. I hadn't been in the park for a while, and definitely was never there on a day this empty. It was really surreal, walking through there in the daytime when there's not a soul in there with you. I progressed through Main Street and onto Adventureland, which was when things started getting really scary. Immediately upon entering onto the main archway, I stepped in a puddle of something dark. Upon inspecting it, I realized it was blood. I was getting closer. Pulling out my gun, I began to methodically check the area. A creaking sound from a ride up ahead, running without its music on, sent chills down my spine. As I approached, I was able to determine that it was the Aladdin ride, and there was something about it I definitely didn't expect to see. It was running, and there were people on it. At first, I couldn't believe my eyes. Once I got a little closer, though, I realized the grim reality of the situation. The people on the ride were all deceased. Hacked and mangled, their magic carpets spun around the center of the attraction, with their blood trickling down into the circular pool below, and there were pentagrams on each and every ride car, drawn in blood. Inside the gate, there was a control panel for a second operator to stand at, because the ride requires two people to run it. I nearly vomited as I saw a chopped-off arm wedged between the wall and the panel, its finger jammed into the dispatch button, replacing the second person needed to run the ride. Out of nowhere, I heard the pre-show start for the Enchanted Tiki Room. It was this little fountain outside the queue where a drum beat started and little animatronic birds began talking. Lifting up my gun, I slowly made my way in that direction. I continued down the queue of the attraction, eventually ending up at this large circular theater, with all these creepy animatronic birds above me. The show was turned off and the room was totally dark and empty. Fear swelled through my veins as I tried to ponder where the cartoon man might be hiding. Then unexpectedly, the show powered on. The animatronic birds began talking to each other like in the normal show. However, it definitely must have been reprogrammed. The voices that came out of the birds' mouths sounded like people begging for their lives. I shuddered as I realized they must have been the cartoon man's victims. Then the sounds of these hideous screams emitted from their mouths, piercing my eardrums. Thoroughly disturbed, I went for the exit and busted through it. Breathing heavily, I found myself face to face with a dark figure leering down on me. I just stood there for a few moments, in silence, then stepped into the light. The first thing I noticed was its snout, sloppily affixed to the front of its face, and its eyes, totally white as it gazed down on me, as if not even really looking at me, but through me. Then out of that misshapen mouth, it whispered,
"I've been waiting."
It was time for me to make my move. I ripped out the jar of I-151 from my fanny pack and tossed it into the cartoon man's face. He screamed, covering his eyes, as steam emitted through his hands. I took off running through the queue. Shortly afterwards, I heard him laughing hysterically from behind as he began to follow. I ran towards the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse to try to get a vantage point on him. Each time I looked back, I could see him walking steadily behind me, his skin partially melted and hanging off his face like a bag. Taking off down the bridge towards the treehouse, the cartoon man began to gain on me as he screamed and jumped around like a wild animal. Then I just stopped hearing him. I turned back and he had vanished. I continued slowly, making my way up to the top of the treehouse so I could get a better look around. Finally, I got up to the highest point, a little spot called the Crow's Nest. Then I heard this rustling in the branches below coming from over the rope railing. I gazed down to see the cartoon man climbing through the trees, hopping gingerly from limb to limb. He quickly dove up at me further than I thought he could jump, knocking me back into the rope behind me. He then held me down and grabbed my neck. His face was more gruesome than ever, twisted and falling apart. Then a piece of his bloody skin fell onto my eye, and I screamed. I finally was able to shake him off of me and into the railing behind. Then as soon as I stood up, I witnessed these enormous metal claws that he had attached to his fingertips. They were some sort of weaponry that he must have fashioned since the last time I saw him. He lifted up his arm ready to strike me as I pulled out my gun. I unloaded at least 8 rounds into his chest, and he fell back over the railing, landing on the bridge about 60 feet below. A large smack echoed throughout the entire park, proving to me just how hard he had hit. I made my way back down to the bottom to check out the body, when I was suddenly swarmed by several police officers. Their presence didn't even register to me, though. My eyes stayed focused on one thing and one thing only: the body of the cartoon man. It looked bad, but not bad enough. There was no way I was going to allow him to evade judgment again. And that was when I blacked out, and apparently began to unload the rest of my pistol into his body. It didn't look good. All those bodies in the park, and just me to tell my story. Sure, there are cameras, but to prove I wasn't involved, it was going to take a miracle. Turns out that the miracle never came, and I've been locked down in a mental institution for the last few weeks. They seem to be sure I was involved with the murder somehow. Especially since I had been trespassed from the park so many times in the past. Whatever, though. I'll let them think what they want. My true goal was accomplished. However, there is one interesting new development. My eye, the one that the cartoon man bled into, has been swollen and inflamed ever since that day. I've seen 3 doctors and no one seems to know what it is. Oddly enough, it almost seems like the world is colored differently through it. It was also causing me excruciating pain on a daily basis until I discovered something very strange that made it feel better. When I was out in our community area, if there was ever a cartoon playing, all of my agony went away as soon as I looked at it. The doctors obviously say it's just my mind playing tricks on me. But I'm not crazy, remember? You know the whole story. Why would I lie to you? I'm not the crazy one, right? Hey, it's Mr. Freaky. I hope you guys enjoyed the finale of Tragedy at Toontown. This story's definitely been on my mind for quite some time now. I want to ask everybody that's new to please go ahead and subscribe to the channel, as well as like this video, and go ahead and post me a comment about what you think I should do next. Have a horrific evening, and remember to stay spooky, my friends.